Let's give a great hand to Pastor Kurt. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to thank all that is here and those that are not here. Keep them in prayer. One of the things that has moved on my heart is healing. And I just truly believe that God is going to begin to start healing throughout this message. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, we're faithful in bringing your truth, and now it's time for you to reveal yourself with signs, wonders, and miracles. How many people would agree with me on this one? And so those that are here that need a healing, a miracle in some way or shape or form, my prayer is that God will begin to confirm his word through healing, through giving blessings in areas where only you know that God is able to do that, that no one else could do those things but God, so that there's a witness of his word. Because there's many, many ministers out there, many doctrines out there, and you have to ask yourself, which one do you believe? Which one do I follow? Which one do I actually listen to? Because you have your life depending upon it. And now we do have another life that we do end up to, and that's the eternal realm. And I know myself, I have a gospel to bring, and I don't bring it in vain. And God needs to make himself available and reveal himself to you. And that's my prayer. Lord, move on your people. He has, but open up our eyes so that we can even see greater. If you look within our circumstances, how many lives just here have been blessed since last year, the year before? How about even just the time when you knew this ministry? It has been walking in blessings. Your lives have been ever increasing, and it's been getting better. Whether your circumstances weren't that great, you didn't quite understand, you took the advice or the guidance by the Spirit that was spoken, and you followed it, and you realized, wow, things are starting to get better in my life. And so these are signs and wonders and miracles through the message and through the anointing. But at the same time, I want God to quicken you in miraculous ways. We serve a God that is alive and living, and he's real. And he has ordained us to bring messages. And I'm at the point in my own life that I'm saying to myself, I don't want to declare messages in vain. I'm not here to be to work out a name or try to make an income or a career. I'm here to exalt God. I'm here to lift his name up and to reveal himself to a lost and dying world. That's what I'm here for. Outside of that, it's all vanity. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. So I declare and decree this word today, and I believe God hears our hearts. And so if there is a need that is within you, and don't look at these things as it's not important in his eyes, whether it's you want to be in shape, whether you want to carry yourself in a better way, whether you want to get out of your funk, you know, whether you want to just be transitioned and have a change in life, God hears that little simple request. You might think, well, this is how I've been created, and I got to live with this, and I got to deal with this. That's not true. If you're not feeling good about your life and the circumstances that you're in, then God wants to change. He wants to change it. How many people would grab hold of that word right there? So grab hold of it, because I'm going to begin to speak. And as he begins to speak, my prayer is that you begin to start feeling something within your body, within your heart, and within your mind. Amen? Amen. With that being said, there are many, many different gospels out there. Amen?
Amen.
Thousands. And they are some strong, rooted, century-old gospels that you have to ask yourself, why should I believe you? Because I haven't heard your gospel before. But I have a gospel here that's been around for centuries. And they're the same, yesterday, today, and forever. How many people understand that one? Well, do you know when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, they questioned, what is your gospel? We've never heard this gospel before. Has anyone ever read that in the Bible? Where they questioned Jesus? Where's this gospel come? This sounds like a foreign gospel. This is foreign. Where'd you get up with this? But that gospel hasn't been foreign. That gospel's been preached since the foundations of the world. And as Christians, Christianity, and I believe that this might be in other doctrines, but I don't follow Hindi or Muslim or Buddhist or Judaism or any of that. I don't follow them. I don't follow any religion, actually, to be honest with you, other than I read and confirm into the Bible, the Holy Bible, about Jesus. And Jesus' gospel was the only gospel that I know of that spoke about the resurrection. Now, Jesus was an example of what life is. He came. He was shown to us that sin is no longer in existence. And how he took away sin is, I'm going to tell you. He denied the soul. He denied his will. He denied the flesh. And that within itself consists of sin. So if anyone says, well, Jesus died for my sins, what he did was he laid his life down to show you that if you lay your life down also, the sin will be removed. Sin is only connected to the soul or to the flesh. And then he laid his life down and said, in 3 days, I'll be resurrected. And in that, he was a sign and a wonder and a miracle for us to follow, to believe, to see that there is a resurrection. Now, he resurrected in flesh. His body was dead, and then it was confirmed that he walked the earth, and many people saw him, and 5,000 saw him walking in the spirit, resurrected dead. Whether his body was still formed or not, we don't know. But he did go to Thomas, and he said, stick your fingers in the holes, because he couldn't recognize them. And obviously there was a resurrectional form. And I believe as we increase in spirit, we too may take a resurrectional form. You know, you may not like the way you feel or look, and who's to say that as we are resurrected in spirit, we might change identity. We might change form. You might look this way, and then all of a sudden you look this way. I know myself, I feel like I look the same as I got changed back in 20 years ago. I haven't aged. Just got a little bit fatter. But moving forward, the last people that actually saw him were the disciples. And then he witnessed. And then Paul said that I saw him too. Even though he didn't see him in the resurrectional time, he saw him afterwards. And so I want to share today that we have to understand the resurrection. I'm going to turn to some scripture here, and I'm going to read some scripture, and I hope and pray that our eyes are opened up and that we are able to see this truth. This is the purpose of life. If anybody wants to know what the purpose of life is, what's my purpose? What is my purpose in life? What am I to do? You know, all these things that we do in the natural, you know, really they're vanity. That's why I say, Lord, I don't want to minister and let it just become in vain. You have to reveal yourself. You have to show up with signs, wonders, and miracles, or the gospel's in vain. And the last thing we ever want to do is anything in vain. How many people would agree with this one? Okay, you don't want to live your life for what? You're going to build a nice home. You're going to raise a lot of money. You might even pass that over to an inheritance, but they'll squander it away and, you know, it'll be worth it. Your home is going to fade away and degrade and, you know, and who knows, maybe somebody will pick it up and fix it up and build it or what have you. But the things that you establish on the earth are all going to fade away. One day they're going to disappear. They're going to be gone. You can't take it with you. You can't take your reputation. You can't take your gold medals. You can't take, you know, anything. You can't take anything. It's all vanity. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. But what is the purpose of life? And I'm going to share what the purpose of life is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it begins to start speaking about what I just basically said earlier about the resurrection and how the resurrection, you know, Jesus died and, you know, and then Paul says that I die daily and yada, yada, yada. But I want to start off here. It says there are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Now, the difference between celestial and terrestrial is, let me figure this one out, because I get these confused. The celestial is the heavenly one, and the terrestrial is the earthly one. Okay, to break it down a little bit more, the celestial is your spirit that doesn't exist yet. Okay, it might exist in some people, but in most in the world, it don't exist. And the only body that exists is the terrestrial one, which is the natural one, or your flesh, or your soul. However you want to verbalize it, however you want to define it, okay? But there's only two bodies, a celestial and a terrestrial. Celestial is heavenly, celestial is spirit that hasn't raised up yet, and then you have the terrestrial, which is natural, or your soul, or your flesh, however you want to verbalize it. And it says, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. So you can build big houses, you can have a good name, you can have great personality or whatever, and you will establish your gold medals in the terrestrial body, the natural. Or there's a glory that comes with the spirit, the celestial body. It says, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from the other star in glory. So it's just basically starting to show you that there's glory in many different forms. There's glory of the sun. You look at the sun and say, ooh, that's a beauty. And then you look at the moon and say, ooh, that's a beauty. You see? And then you look at a star and you say, ooh, that star looks nice. And then they say, but yet that star is more prettier than that star, and that star is more prettier than the other star. They all hold its value in all glory. Then it says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Now this is the important part that we have to begin to understand. There's a purpose for us, And we can't continue to live in one form of glory, because that form that we were born in is corruptible. I'm sorry, it's corruptible. It's no good. It's bad. Even though you might be a good person. How many people feel that they're a good person? I'm going to be the first one to raise my hand. I don't do anything wrong. I'm a good person. I wasn't very good earlier when I was younger, but as I matured, I got better. And I'm ever increasing, trying to be a good person. I try to treat people well and all that other stuff. But the reality is, if I am still in a natural form, and I haven't came to a place of resurrection, I'm not a good person. There's deception there. Somehow along the line, I have expectations. Somewhere along the line, I have a conditional love where, you know, I did you good. I did you good, so I expect good back. And if you don't give me good back, guess what? You're a creep. Or you're no good either. I'm not happy with you. I can't tend to forgive you for some reason or another. You're a bad person. How many people have come across that in their own life where they have treated or poured out their heart or really gave themselves as a sacrifice, gave them everything, and then for some reason or another, they didn't meet your expectations, so right away, they're scumbags. Right? They're no good. They're no good. But yet in their mind, they say they're good. I didn't do anything wrong. What are you talking about? I didn't do anything wrong. Let me share something with you. Life begins to change when you are resurrected into the Spirit. You don't have any expectations. And expectations is a part of, I would say, a destruction in our lives. Those things will literally destroy you. You expect things, which you probably have every right to expect in a way, because if you do good, you expect good to follow. You know, it's almost like a natural law. But what if it don't? Here's an example. This is why, you know, we bring Jesus up a lot, because he's an example of this resurrection that we talk about. And he was one who did good, but yet was persecuted, hated without a cause. Now, he could have felt to expect, but what did he do? He gave it up. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There was a form of forgiveness in his heart, and that is evidence of the Spirit. And I'm sharing these things because I want all of us to really search out where our heart is, and if we think we're in spirit, and we think that we have salvation, search our hearts. If we're still carrying disappointments, or unforgiveness, bitterness in one way or another, you're going to have to say to yourself, are you in the celestial body or are you in the terrestrial body? Are you in the spiritual body or are you in the natural body? The natural body is sown in corruption. The spiritual body is sown in incorruption. So I'm going to keep on reading and try to hopefully make it really clear in what is going on here. So in verse 43, let's go back to 42. It says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, and it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Now just look at the difference right there in the resurrection. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. The Spirit is showing you right there. that there is no glory outside of the Spirit. You know, people aren't going to remember too much when you leave this earth. They might say, oh yeah, they were a good person and all that, but yeah, that's nice. It says here, in verse 44, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Now, some of us might follow the scriptures and we understand that Jesus was the second Adam coming. And as he took on the form of a man, he was able to show us how to deny that natural body and forsake it so that he could be resurrected in a new body. And some gospel messages speak about the resurrection of the dead when we leave this earthly body. How many people have heard that before? Oh, when you die, you know, you'll leave your earthly body, and that's the resurrection, because your spirit will be lifted up into the heavenlies and you'll be transformed into the glory of God in a twinkling of an eye. Has anyone ever heard that before? Okay. Well, I want to tell you right now, that's a gospel that is not true. It's true, but not true. It leads to deception, because it says that you don't have to transform into a spiritual body now. You can just be a good person, and when you die, that's where all the resurrectional transformation begins. Why I say that gospel is wrong is because when you die, there's no transformation. You don't transform after death. Once you die, that's it. Boom. It stops. And this is a gospel that is not of God, because darkness doesn't want your natural body to transform while you're alive. See, the resurrection is so important to understand that the natural body, while it's alive on earth, has to die. It's a mystery. But this mystery isn't being told properly. It's not projecting it out correctly. It's deceiving, and I'm going to tell you why. The soul, I want to say really, the father of lies, controls the soul and has deceived and duped the soul and keeping it into the soul, because the job of darkness is to not let you have, I want to say, eternal life. What it really is trying to do, see, you want to know what the job of the devil is, if there is even a devil, right? But you know what the job of darkness is? Does anyone really believe in the devil? I mean, the devil's alive and real and living, okay? It's real, okay? And I'm going to tell you right now, the job of the devil is to kill Christ, not allow the Spirit of Christ to be resurrected. It's to hold back the resurrection. How many people understand this? If he holds back the resurrection, it's like not allowing a piece of God to live. So he's basically destroying God. That's his job. Because when we were created, God gave a piece of him to each and every one of you. Do you know that? When you were born, God gave himself a piece living inside of you. There's a piece of God living inside of you. That's why the angels are so amazed. What is it with man that God loves so much? Is it because you think that we're a part of his creation? He made us? When he said, let me make man in our image, he gave a piece of him in you. which gave you all power and all glory. The only glory that we receive is the glory from God. That's it. There is only one glory, and that glory is from God. So when we were created, He put a piece of Himself with us. This is the gospel that we should really be listening to. This is the truth. Any other gospel that allows you to live in your corruption, which is really just the nature of who you are, the nature of yourself, without being resurrected and transformed into a spirit. Now, this is where the confusion comes. You don't know how to transform. Whoa, how do you transform into spirit? How do I know if I'm being transformed? How do I even become resurrected? How do I die in Him? How do I get resurrected? We're going to stay on this for a while until we understand what it is to be resurrected. How does the flesh die and how does the spirit resurrect? I'm going to tell you right now. A lot of gospel messages tell you that the only way the flesh dies is when you renounce all the things of the world. You can't let your hair grow long. You have to do this. You have to do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't gamble. You can't smoke. How many people have heard that? To be a good person and to be a Christian or to be a person to follow God, you know, you just can't do those things. All right, live in bondage. Believe that mess. All things are good. Not all things are edifying to others, but all things are good. And that's another whole message in itself. How many have heard me say, there is no good, there is no bad, there is no right, there is no wrong? Okay, good. Because that's planted in you, and you'll begin to understand this whole resurrection thing when I'm all done. Because God has given us the world. He has given us the blessings of the world. There is nothing bad in the world. You know what makes it bad? You saying you gotta have it. You having addiction of it. I need it. I can't live without it. Oh, you don't understand. It's the greatest. It becomes like an addiction. God wants us to be able to say, if I can't go, I can't go. If I can go, I can go. If I have it, I have it. If I don't, I don't. I would like it, but not my will. Your will be done. You see? He wants us to be able to be content and be content in all things. This is part of resurrection. This is a part of living in spirit. You're giving back all glory to God. And you don't have expectations to feel as though that we deserve anything. How many of us feel as though that we deserve something? How about respect? How about just being treated fairly? How about just having the door opened up for us or not having people that are rude around us. You know, I mean, there's so many different things that we tend to get offended by. Do I hear an amen on that one? Amen. Right? Okay. Right there, we're living in a corruption body. We're not living in spirit. For one, we should decrease and not believe that we deserve anything. Even though I want everything, believe me, I love to have the, you know, rude people just shut up and stop being so rude. I mean, I would love to be treated with kindness and mercy and be well respected and honored. I would love it. There's nothing wrong with wanting it. There's nothing wrong with liking it. There's nothing wrong with the things of the world. See, I want to create the true gospel in us. Not religion, not a form of godliness, nothing of that nature. I want to form godliness and the power of God in us. And so you can have these things and live in the world, but just not be of the world. And that's a whole nother message that'll come about the resurrection. We need to understand the resurrection of the Spirit and being able to live in the world and be set apart to where our hearts and our spirits are full of joy and peace and love, and not have the world in itself or the corruption of man or the corruption of humans, the nature, rob us. It robs us two ways. One, you seeing the natural, and two, you living in the natural robs and kills and steals and destroys. But if you can live in spirit and have the mind to know that you don't deserve anything and you don't have any expectations and you're not offended and you don't get hurt and you can live a life where your joy isn't stolen. And then there's another form of resurrection where you actually see spirit and you don't let that person offend you because you know that it's not the person. It's either spirit or darkness. We'll call it darkness, you know, or nature, carnal. That's just flesh. And you know. Your mind begins to start understanding something that is a mystery. When you get offended and somebody hurts you or disrespects you, in spirit, your mind would say, that's just a carnal soul that has no understanding. And Jesus had that same concept because he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So what he was saying was, that's a soul. That's a dirty, rotten, ugly soul. That there is corruption, evil, sick, demented, has no concept of truth, ignorant. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was saying it in a very nice way. That's a scumbag soul. How many people are following me? So my prayer is that we really come into the resurrection. My prayer is that we really grab hold of the true resurrection of spirit. This is the purpose of life. If we don't transform into spirit, I'm going to tell you right now, we're all duped. We're all duped. You're going to leave this earthly body and you're going to find out what the truth is. What I'm saying right now. Yep. Now, I know what's going through your head. Well, what about the people who really didn't know? What happens to them? Or what about the people who really try and, you know, they did their best and, you know, what about God's mercy and God's grace and God's love? Doesn't all that play a part? Well, I'm going to tell you right now. All it is the soul trying to keep you in the soul. They're all lies. They're all trying to justify and make up excuses for your salvation. Hear me out. Okay? Hear me out. Because God doesn't want us to be deceived. Remember, we have a heart that is deceivingly wicked. I don't talk about our heart much, about the deception and the wickedness that is in our heart. Especially when you're not mature enough to even hear that. Don't tell me I'm wicked. Don't tell me I'm deceivingly wicked. Don't tell me my heart's bad. I'm a good person. I show love. I'm a giving person. I show kindness. I show mercy. I show all that stuff. Really. For one, if we're beginning to justify how good we are, I'm going to tell you right now, you're even worse off than what you think. Because now it's just pride trying to defend itself again. We have to see how deceivingly wicked things are in the soul. Not saying that you're a bad person. Listen, if anybody says that I'm a bad person, I'm going to be in their face and I'm going to say, listen, You know, I might not be all that great in your eyes, but I try. I do my best. You see what I'm saying? You know, and I want you to feel that way too. But at the same time, I don't want you to put yourself on some kind of pedestal and think that your salvation is safe. You see? I want us to check and double check and constantly look within ourselves so that we can constantly feel good that we are transforming in spirit. Not holding ourselves, you know, guilty or ashamed or condemn ourselves in any way, shape, or form, but to check. What's wrong with checking? What's wrong with searching out your soul to see if you have a bit of pride that's rising itself up, looking at self a little higher than others? You know, the scripture says, take a seat in the back, you know? Don't take a seat up front, you know? And don't give anybody, you know, praise because they look good, but, you know, give praise to the one who looks like crap. You see? I mean, we need to understand resurrection. We only have one shot in this world. One shot. That's it. The deception, and Pastor Sam and I, we talk throughout the week, and he's always throwing stuff at me, and I kind of giggle and laugh, and I'm like, bring it on, because it's opening up the eyes and opening up what's here. And, you know, it's one thing when your eyes are opened up and everybody else's eyes are closed and they just don't see the things. Okay, have you ever been in that circumstance where you can see something and nobody else sees it and they're like, ah, and then you're the bad guy? It's nice when other people begin to see things, isn't it? And now you're not such the bad guy. Well, could you imagine if I just started saying that all the churches out there are loaded with apostles of demons because they're preaching a message, a gospel message that isn't allowing the soul to die? Think about it. They're preaching that the soul is going to be saved one day. When the truth is, the body has to die now. The soul has to die now. Not when your earthly body dies. There's no transformation at that point. And if you believe that, you're deceived. And if you want to argue with me, you can argue with me. Search the scriptures. I hope and pray that God brings a witness with you, because I don't want to say, well, you're just deceived and I'm right. Okay, because then you can twist it and say, well, look who's putting him up, you know, and telling everybody else is wrong. Search out for yourself. Search the scriptures out for yourself. Pray, ask God, please, Lord, reveal this mystery to me. I need to see it. I need to see it. Because you don't get a second chance. You don't get a second chance. You know, there's many, many scriptures in the Bible that speaks about, you know, having that place already or judgment. And the one that really stands out with me lately is, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. And then those individuals cried out and pleaded, but Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. We healed the sick. We moved, you know, had faith to move mount. We burned our bodies, you know, the whole nine yards. Okay, I'm paraphrasing all this. I'm putting some scripture within scripture to make it more understandable. But the fact is, if they said to the Lord, but Lord, Lord, we did these things in your name, you can't tell me that they weren't seekers of God. You can't tell me that they weren't in ministry and they were actually thinking that they were following the truth. You can't tell me, okay, because there would be no reason for them to stand before the Lord and say, but Lord, Lord, wait a minute. Don't say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Wait a minute. Wait, 1 minute. Well, what happened to when I die, my spirit gets resurrected into a spirit of glory? What happened to that? What happened to that gospel message? No, they stood before the judgment stand. They stood before him. And he said, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And the reason why is because he was never transformed into spirit. They were operating in a deception, the deceivingly wicked heart of the soul. They had a form of godliness, but denying the power of transformation. They didn't understand the resurrection. They didn't come across the resurrection. They took it as something that they were going to leave this earth, and then their body was going to be resurrected, just like Jesus died and his body was resurrected. No, he was a metaphor of what the spirit is now. Please don't get duped. I'm listening to these, I'm speaking to those that are listening on tape or over the internet and all. I don't want them to be duped. How many people you think, just in your own life and those that are around you, that are already deceived? Hundreds, thousands. Well, Jim, what makes you right and everybody else wrong? I'm going to tell you right now, that's a good question. I argue that with myself all the time. But there's more out there than what I'm saying. I don't understand. But like Pastor Tim said, conviction. Listen, I had an encounter that changed my life. And I can go on in detail with it, but you know what? One day there'll be a book, maybe. I don't know. Lord willing. But as Paul's life was changed, so was mine. And the words I heard was, go back and tell them about my Father. And I'm here to proclaim the truth. And you know what? My soul's saved. I have salvation. I know I can stand boldly and know that I can go before him. The question is, can you? That's the last thing I got to say, really, about the argument. But if you're not sure, hear what I have to say so that you can have salvation. Read the scriptures for yourself. I bet most people just come in and listen to the gospel that is being spoken by whatever speakers out there, and they end up just taking it as gospel. Well, he's a nice guy. I don't think he would deceive me. He seems like a nice guy. Is he talking about resurrection? And I'm not talking about Jesus being resurrected. I'm talking about you being resurrected. Is he talking about putting away the corruptible seed, killing it, and raising up the incorruptible seed that's in you? Is he talking about the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you, a piece of God that needs to be resurrected because Satan, darkness, devil, whatever you want to say, is just out to kill the Son of God? The whole life of Jesus was a mirror image of what our life is. There was individuals that were killing the Son of God. And because he didn't do anything wrong, they still killed him. Why? Because he proclaimed that he had a relationship with the Father. Oh, you can't say that. You can't say you have a relationship with God, the Father. You can't say that you're the Son of God. That's heresy. Let's kill him. It was a soul manifestation saying we can't have God live anymore. We have to destroy life. Life cannot go on. And life is in you. And darkness wants to destroy life in you. So he's going to dupe. Demons are going to dupe that message of resurrecting the God life in you. I'm going to make it look like you got God life in you. I'm going to say all these things. Slap me five. Get the blessings of God. How many people are beginning to understand what I'm saying? I feel like I'm on my last days. There's an urgency boiling up inside me. Not saying that I'm going to die or anything like that. I just feel right now there's an urgency to come out bold and begin to start declaring the truth of God. Because time is short. Whether I'm coming out bold, maybe someone's going to come and try to put me on the cross. I don't know. Maybe they want to kill me. I don't know. Maybe I'll get shot. Maybe some clergyman will come over and poof, right through the door. I don't know. Because soul doesn't want the message out. Soul doesn't want God to rule and reign. Soul, or darkness, doesn't want the resurrection. It wants to keep you duped. It wants you to believe that you can live your life the way you are. Don't worry about, putting these things under your feet. I'm going to share something with you. I'm getting to the end here. It says here, the first man was the earth made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That means the soul cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Now this is where that doctrine, demon gospel comes in, because deception says, when you die. But there's no when you die. There's no when you leave this earthly body thing. It's talking about now. You got to leave the earthly body now. You got to die to the flesh now. And it says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Now, that doesn't mean that, when your earth body dies, all of a sudden there's a trumpet blast in heaven and all that and the dead will rise. It has nothing to do with that. Maybe when you become broken and contrite, and all of a sudden, God is searching to and fro, looking for that broken, contrite heart. And he finds one. And he looks at you. And he says, there it is. And all of a sudden, the trumpets are blasting. Now all heaven and its host of heaven comes in and begins to save the soul. That's the truth. If anybody wants to understand the truth, that's the truth. Heaven rejoices when he finds one to save. He left 99 to go after the one. And I want you to know the truth, that when all of a sudden God is searching, he's searching to and fro, looking. He's looking at your heart right now. He's looking for that broken contrite. Is he passing by you? Is he looking past you? Are you having a form of godliness but denying the power of the transformation of the resurrection? Just because you think you're a good person? Good people go to hell. I'll tell you right now, you can mock this message all day long. We'll see at the end times when he says, get away from me, you worker. But, give me a second chance. Oh. Well, didn't you listen to that crazy guy out there in nowhere's land in the barn? You were there. You heard. You heard over the internet. You heard. You mocked. You mocked and you laughed because you play a part that you think you're good. And you put yourself up and saturated yourself with pride, thinking that you're good. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a good person. I'm going to keep reiterating. Don't tell me I'm a bad person. Do not tell me I'm a bad person. I might even smack you in the face. Don't tell me I'm a bad person. I'm a good person. Listen, it's okay to feel that way, but when you begin to put yourself above and you begin to separate yourself apart, and there's no conscience in you saying that you're subject to fail and you can fall short of the glory, and you put yourself in these positions, and you don't search your heart, and you don't continue to search your heart, and you think you're okay, and you think that you have eternal life, well, I'm going to tell you right now, you're a liar. And that's not going to save your soul. I'm sorry, I'm only out to save souls. And I'm going to tell you right now, he leaves 99 to go after that one. And God is constantly searching. He's looking. He's searching. He's looking. And he's searching. And he's looking. And he's searching. And then all of a sudden, he finds a broken, contrite heart. And then all of a sudden, the trumpets in heaven are blasting. All heaven begins to rejoice. And they infiltrate, and they begin to awaken you. This is the beginning of when the resurrection truly becomes alive. You begin to be awakened. And all of a sudden, you know that there's another life. You know that there's something more. You know there's something missing inside. When you're full of the soul and the heart is not broken, I'm going to tell you right now, the manifestation is, I'm okay and I don't need anything. I don't need help. I'm all right. Leave me alone. I can get by. I'm fine. But that broken, contrite heart comes in humility. And all heaven begins to endure you with power, because heaven knows how much the soul wants to destroy the spirit. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And the only way the power of the Holy Spirit comes, the only way that we are baptized in the Holy Ghost, the only way we are endured with power, is a broken, contrite heart. Period. There is no other way. There is no other way that there could be a form of godliness even alive without a broken, contrite heart. If there is any form of pride, I'm going to tell you right now, I can hear pride yelling out of those people, But Lord, we did all these things in your name. Really? If I stood before the judge, and that judge said to me, you were wrong, you think I'm going to talk back to him? Okay. Have mercy on me. All right. Find some forgiveness, please. I'm not going to say, oh no, judge, you're wrong. You don't understand. You have no clue. I did all these things in your name, and what are you trying to do? I'm telling you right now, justification is a killer. You begin to start justifying your circumstances, and you start making excuses. I'm going to tell you right now, you're doomed for death. There's one more part in this scripture verse that I want to share before we close. And it says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. It says it must. It doesn't say, wait, you know, don't worry about it. You know, when you die, don't worry about it. It'll be an automatic transformation. It's cool. It's like changing the tires on your car. It's okay, man. We'll take off the old and put on the new. It'll be fine, and then you're good to go for eternity. It doesn't happen. Then it says, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And it says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord, because he showed us. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So he's saying, you got to go into the resurrection. You have to look for the resurrection. You have to work out your salvation. You have to listen to the truth. You have to understand so that we can be transformed. Now, understanding we need to be resurrected. How many understand now that we need to be resurrected? Good. We're going to start telling you the process of being resurrected. We got to know how to be resurrected. How do you resurrect the body? How do you become into the spirit? Some people think, oh, I just accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and I'm now in spirit. Or some people might think, well, if I just pray and I have a relationship with God, I'm in spirit. But you have to really realize that verse. But Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. And he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. You really need to understand the revelation of that verse. There's a lot more than just thinking that you accepted, you know, Christianity, you accepted the blood of the Lamb, you accepted all these gospel messages that you've been listening to. There's no transformation. The transformation is just saying, oh, I'm in relationship with God now, and if God is for me, who could be against me? And, you know, oh, the devil's under my feet, and, you know, I'm blessed. Hey, give me a high five, I'm blessed. And, you know, don't have the understanding and the knowledge of being resurrected, and they're being deceived. How would you like to be deceived? Big disappointments. How about you're all built up thinking that you're going to have something or go somewhere, and then all of a sudden find out, you're not getting it. Sorry, you're not having it. You're done. I don't know about you, but it's making me ever increase more leaning towards the glory of God. Always decreasing. Now, I'm not going to show you how decreasing I am. I'm going to walk around looking like the biggest prideful pig on the earth. You know what I mean? Hey, that's me. That's right. Look at me. Hey. But my heart, you see what I'm saying? My heart is transforming. You see? I'm still going to be in your face. Don't think that I'm going to love you because that's what the Bible says. You know? If I think that you're a dirty scumbag, I'm going to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. But at the same time, I don't need to hang out with you. Have a nice day. Talk to the hand. You understand? I want us to live in the world, and I want you to live. But I also want resurrection. I want the resurrection from within. Talk to my hand. You see what I mean? Talk to my hand. I don't want to hear nothing what you got to say. Talk to the hand. Hear what I'm saying. Stand firm. Believe. Check your heart. Check and double check. And triple check. Don't be deceived. Listen, the darkness goes around roaring like a lion, looking to and fro to who he's going to devour. So you got God searching, and you got the darkness searching too. You know, you got both people searching. You got darkness looking and saying, I can get this one deceived. And you know the thing that really stinks? We were born in deception. So deception seems common to us. We're comfortable around deception. How many people are following what I'm saying? The truth is foreign. And when truth comes to us, we're kind of shy from it. I'm not sure about that. I'm not accustomed to that. It's not sitting too well with me. I'm kind of, But deception, because we were born in it, oh yeah, I like that. I agree with that. There's not a big persuasiveness in that. How many people understand what I'm saying? We can change this gospel message and make it a twinkling of your ears. Oh yeah, we can do that. And yeah, we'll fill this place up. But to keep it in truth, only the hearer is going to hear. And the deceivers are going to run. They're going to run. Thank God he had mercy on your soul that you're here and you're still listening and you're there. I got to go. I'm out of time. Let us pray. If we could bow our heads for a moment. You know, 10 minutes. What's 10 minutes when you're looking at eternity? What's 10 minutes if we can make sure that our heart's clear and we're on the right path? So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. And I'm depending on you. As I move forward in your boldness, I'm depending on you with your signs and your wonders and your miracles. For you to confirm your prophecy, your words, your testimonies, I pray. I pray that the eyes were opened up and our ears heard and our hearts are convicted to say, you know what? I want to search myself and see if I have salvation. I thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Amen. If anybody wants to close, give a closing. Pastor Sam's going to close this. Just give the Lord a hand of praise for Pastor Sam. Amen.
Amen. Real quick, everything he said was scriptural. You know, it says that all of heaven rejoices over one sinner repenting. It's a scripture. It's right in there. And, you know, we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's how we're transformed. But it starts with a broken and contrite heart. That's the only way it begins. And we have to decrease so he can increase. And what decreases is the love relationships that we've set up in this of this world and for this world. You know, the scripture says it's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's not acquiring cars and houses that's the root of all evil. It's the love of acquiring cars and houses that's the root of all evil. It's not sports that's the love of all, that's the of all evil. It's the love of these things that's the root of all evil. We have love relationships in this world with things of this world. And this gospel that we're preaching is to here to separate, to bring a sword to divide the soul from the spirit. Relationships of the world that we found peace and joy in, and start trying to find peace and joy in relationships with God. Start acquiring truth. Start allowing truth to transform your minds and transform your lives and establish a love relationship from God of unconditional love. We've had the conditional our whole lives. That's all we've ever known. And now we're bringing in something foreign to the soul, something foreign to us. And it's hard, it's difficult to acquire this, but it takes practice. It takes applying, it takes application. See, faith without works is dead. Truth without the application of that truth is dead. If we're not applying the truth, we're not doing anything. It's death. You can have all the truth you want in the world, but if we don't apply it, it's dead. Repentance is taking the truth and applying that truth that reflects in a change of behavior. If our behavior isn't changing, then all it is vanity. It's knowledge, and knowledge puffs up. And you walk around thinking you're okay. We're not okay. I'm not okay. I have to cry out every day and say, God, I don't want to be bored. I'm sick of being bored. I don't want to have to run down here, run over there to satisfy my boredom because I'm bored. Because the world's not satisfying me anymore. See, the world satisfies you to a point. And then you stop being satisfied. You look somewhere else. We go to the shore. We go here. We do this. It's all self-feeding. But when you learn about serve, see, Kirk gave a good message earlier. He said, I don't care about the shore. I'm not even going to be there. But I care about my wife and my kids having a good time. Pastor spoke to Tim and I on Wednesday night, and he said, listen, when you're doing it for others, that's what creates life. When you're doing it for yourself out of selfishness because you want it, it's feeding the soul. And you're not going to decrease, you're going to increase. The soul will increase. We have time in this world. We have a lot of time. We have free time. But our free time should be given to others. If we have children, we're taking time for, I need a break. Let them watch the kids. I need a break. Your kids are starving for your attention. And we go and feed ourselves. We go and do things for ourselves. And we say, I deserve it. Because I work hard. God's trying to establish a love relationship with him where he satisfies all your needs in him. You are complete in him. We are complete in him. In him is fullness of joy. In him is contentment. We're not going to find it anywhere else. Amen? Father, we thank you for this message today. Let it sink into our hearts, Father. Let us apply the truth that we're receiving in here. Let us listen to these messages over and over and over and over and over and over and never stop, because it's like peeling an onion. There's layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of each message. You can listen to the same message 50 times and get something different every single time. It'll feed your spirit. It'll kill your soul. He said, I brought a sword to divide soul from spirit. Let's be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and have a great week. Amen.